Hey everybody, welcome back to Glow Girl. I am Tracy White as always, and I'm so glad you're here with me today so we can learn together and grow together and shine bright together. On today's show, we're talking about an astrology term that you probably have heard before, but you might not know what it's all about. So today we're talking about your rising sign. So you've heard this before, right? It's part of your big three. If you've heard your sun, your moon, and your rising, people say if you know those three, then you probably know a good bit about your own astrology. And that may be true. There's a lot of information in astrology to know, but if you know your sun, moon, and rising, it gives you a little comprehensive kind of snapshot of, you know, a lot of helpful things. But what is your rising sign? Do you know what that means? What does that mean for you? And also, do you know that your rising sign relates to your health? So we're going to talk about all of that after the break. There's some really good information in there. We're going to talk about your rising sign. We're going to talk about the first house in your birth chart, and just a lot of really good detailed information about how that impacts your physical self. So there's some good information. Stay tuned for that. First, we're going to talk really, really quick about this week's astrology. So there were a lot of movements last week. This week, there's really only one major thing that I want to talk about. And that is that Mercury has moved from Virgo to Libra. Okay. So Mercury is our planet of how we think, how we communicate, how we process information. Mercury is the planet that rules the sign of Virgo. Okay. And so Mercury really likes to be in Virgo. When Mercury is in Virgo, we are very precise in our speech and our thought and how we process things. We can be very analytical. We can be very discriminating. You know, we can be really good at prioritizing things like that. When Mercury moves from Virgo, a sign that it really likes to be in, into Libra, which is not a sign that it dislikes, but just a different vibe here with Libra, we are going to feel these changes. Okay. Now, you may think that every planet impacts us all directly in a lot of different ways, and they do. And that's important to know. But there are planets that are called personal planets, planets that are called outer planets. And then there are some sort of middle ground guys. And the personal planets are the ones that impact us the most personally. We feel them the strongest because they're the planets that are the closest to Earth. So it makes sense, right? Their energies are the closest to us, and their planetary orbits are closer to what Earth's planetary orbit does. And so the impacts of, say, Mercury moving from sign to sign, we may feel those more strongly and more noticeably than maybe Pluto moving into a new sign. You know, when Pluto moves into a new sign, it sort of affects a generation of all people. Where when Mercury moves into a new sign, it sort of impacts our day to day and sort of how we process things and think and feel. Okay. So just a little lesson on personal planets. Our personal planets are Mercury, Venus, and Mars. Those are the closest ones to us. And sometimes Jupiter gets lumped in there, but Jupiter and Saturn are kind of in those middle ground guys that are doing their own thing. They impact more of our, I guess, overall life, you know, not really our day to day as much. So now we're talking about this Mercury movement into Libra. Mercury moved into Libra on August 30th and will be there until November 5th. This is a very long time. If you kind of know a little bit about Mercury's orbit, Mercury usually stays in one sign for about 3 weeks. Okay. Mercury being in Libra from August 30th to November 5th is because there is a Mercury retrograde occurring entirely in the sign of Libra from September 27th until October 18th. Okay. So when Mercury is in Libra, we'll start feeling these sort of diplomatic and friendly kind of ways of thinking. Okay. During Mercury and Libra cycle, we can bring a more rational approach to our one-on-one relationships. Very diplomatic. Okay. Libra is the sign of the scales. We talked a little bit about this last week, but every sign of the zodiac is represented by a living being except for the sign of Libra, which is represented by a machine, basically a set of scales. And so this is, it's processing, it's practical in a different way than the Virgo energy. It's practical in a way where it's weighing pros and cons, but also very focused on things like our relationships, because at the end of the day, Libra is ruled by the planet Venus. Okay. And Venus is about our values and our relationships and, you know, our righteous feminism, really. So this is a very strong energy, and we're going to feel this shift. You're probably, by the time you're hearing this, I'm sure you've already seen and are starting to feel this shift. Okay. This can be a really good time to think about ways to improve our skills in negotiation. Okay. And you may start seeing and experiencing people in your life negotiating with you. Everything may feel like a negotiation. Sometimes everything might feel like an argument. You'll probably hear and notice a lot of vacillating energy, where Libra has a bad rap sometimes for not being able to make up its mind about things. And there's a reason for that. It's not that Libra is indecisive. It's that Libra is focused on seeing both sides of the coin and weighing those options and attempting to make a decision based on the most information available. Now, when Mercury's in Libra, what can happen is we get tied up in those details. We get tied up in, you know, wanting to gather more information to add to our investigation, and then just never making a decision. So that can be frustrating. If it's you that's having trouble making a decision, if it's someone that you're waiting on to move, that can be frustrating. It's a little bit of a difficult time when it comes to making decisions like that. Making quick decisions can be more challenging than usual. We can all be kind of like fence sitters. It is not an easy time to make a decision, to shit or get off the pot. We also may too easily accommodate others' opinions to keep the peace. Okay. I am extremely guilty of doing this. I'm doing it right now. I have a situation in my life personally that I am attempting to navigate. I have a heavy amount of Libra in my birth chart. I respond and relate very closely with everything Libra. And I have been a doormat in my life, and I am struggling with it again right now. This Mercury in Libra transit for me is coming at a time that is making certain things in my life very frustrating, because I am putting some of my own needs aside for the betterment of a group situation, to be nicer, to avoid conflict. And these are themes that you may see during this Mercury in Libra, especially because it's an extended time frame. Okay. Now, we may be very accommodating, which can be great, right? But we may be more accommodating than we need to be sometimes, and it may come at the cost of our own comfort levels. Okay. In our negotiations during this time frame, we don't want to feel like we're asserting ourselves so that we feel like or look like the bad guy. Okay. However, this is a reasonable time to consider other people's points of view. This is helpful. Okay. We may be more inclined right now to arrive at fair conclusions about things. This is a good peacekeeping energy. Okay. This can be very helpful, especially considering the state of the world and our society. Everything feels so divided and divisive, and everyone seems to be butting heads, and it's very challenging. This transit, while it may cause some of us to struggle with being too accommodating and struggling to make decisions, this energy can be very helpful when it comes to being able to see the world from other people's points of view and really consider that and really let ourselves step into their shoes for a moment and try to understand where they're coming from. Finding common ground, finding a little bit of balance and harmony, these are very Libra themes. So this Mercury in Libra energy may be very helpful for us coming together for common things now. So if that's something that's been a struggle for you, this time frame, again, August 30th to November 5th, very long Mercury in Libra session this time around. This can be very helpful. We need this transit, even if some of it is going to be a little bit of a struggle for us. So I guess what I will say is, even though Libra can sometimes make us the most Switzerland of all of the places, because we just want to be the common ground, we just want to find balance and avoid all conflict whenever possible, we can't put ourselves in the line of fire. We can't set ourselves on fire to keep other people warm. You know what I mean? We hear this all the time. And this is a time when you're going to feel that way. You're going to feel like, you know, I would gladly, you know, put myself in the line of fire to accommodate so that no one else has to feel uncomfortable. And I'm saying this as someone who is literally doing that right now today. So if this is something that you struggle with in general in life, you may find this time to be a little bit more challenging. If you are somebody who does not struggle normally with this, someone who has no issues with boundaries, someone who has no issues with standing up for yourself and what you need and putting yourself first, great. Hopefully this time frame will not be an issue for you, you know, and hopefully you can help to sort of lead the rest of us through this extended time frame. But what I will say is, allow yourself to, I guess, embrace this softer energy that Mercury in Libra provides. And think about, you know, when you're having trouble making decisions, go to the Libra themes. Does this match with your values? Are you finding common ground here? You know, is your heart protected? You know, but is it also open to allowing a new point of view or a new experience or a new person? So, you know, thinking about these things, you know, proceed with caution, but proceed with, you know, your head up and, you know, with an open air about you. There's a lot to be observed and there's a lot to be embraced about this Mercury in Libra season. We'll be having more information as we approach this Mercury retrograde. Like I said, that's coming up September 27th to October 18th. As with all Mercury retrogrades, usually about 10 to 14 days in advance of the Mercury retrograde, we start having that retro shade season. And so we can start to see things disintegrate a little bit and a breakdown of communication and electronics and processing and things like that. So knowing that we are approaching a Mercury retrograde, a Mercury retrograde shadow period, even sooner, now is the time to start thinking about, you know, do I have my electronics backed up? Do I have, you know, is there work on my car that needs to be done? Is there, you know, communication in my relationship? Because Libra is very much about relationship. Is there work on my relationship that I would like to start now and get some of these things out in the open before the retrograde sort of makes the waters muddier with our communications? So if there's something that you can start now so that it's already in process during Mercury retrograde, especially with regards to relationship, communication, expression of our values and, you know, being able to have our point of view and our boundaries out front. These are really great times to embrace and to explore those things before we start getting into Mercury retrograde and shadow season. So again, those dates, Mercury is in Libra from August 30th to November 5th. Mercury retrograde will be occurring from September 27th to October 18th. So make your plans now. We have some beautiful Libra energy also with our Venus in Libra until September 10th. It's a charming, loving time to really embrace each other and to really open ourselves up to relationships and the people that we care about and the things that we care about and what we're passionate for. One thing I will also say too, with Venus in Libra at the same time as Mercury in Libra, is watch your shopping tendencies. This can be a time when we want things and we just want to build up our personal resources. Sometimes we want beautiful things. Sometimes we want cozy, comfortable things. Sometimes we want books. Maybe that's just me. I just always want books, but this is a time that we may feel like really spending, and sometimes spending to, assuage anxiety or sadness or any other hole in our heart. Spending feels like it will help. That is that Libra energy at work. Don't fall for it. If you have a budget and you need to stick with it, try to hold yourself back, try to give yourself, 24 hours before you pull the trigger on an Amazon quick buy. Try to give yourself a little bit of time because this is an impulsive shopping energy. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. Now, that is this week's astrology. Let's pay a couple of quick bills here, and then we're going to deep dive into the rising signs of the zodiac. Sometimes no matter how hard I try, I don't vibe high, I don't manifest greatness, and I definitely feel like Mercury is in permanent retrograde in my life. I need time to slow down and take care of me, and I don't know about you, but the only time I can manage real, true self-care is if I schedule it into my busy calendar. That's why I love BetterHelp. You can connect with your very own professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's on your own time and at your own pace. And there are 4 ways to connect with your therapist: phone, video, chat, and text. Your own licensed professional counselor specializes in whatever it is that you need help with. Anything you share with them is confidential. And if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, just like me, that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp is available worldwide at your fingertips, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option with financial aid available. Glow Girl listeners get 10% off your first month, so why not get started today? Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health by going to betterhelp.com/glow to fill out a questionnaire, help them assess your needs, and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/glow for 10% off your first month. When I need to wind down and decompress, sometimes I go for a long walk. Sometimes I sit down in a quiet spot with a good book. Challenging my body or my imagination is fun, and sometimes a fun mental challenge is exactly what I need. That's why I love playing Best Fiends, the match 3 puzzle game with thousands of levels and tons of cute collectible characters. Best Fiends is perfect for when you need a breather but still want to feel mentally active. It's like a mini retreat for your brain anytime you need it. If you're finding yourself with a lot more time on your hands than usual now that the kids are back to school, Best Fiends is a great way to keep your mind active and happy. When I sit down, pull out my phone, and jump into the world of Best Fiends, I never want to leave. Every new level is fun and challenging, and I have a hard time looking away. Best Fiends is great because it never gets boring. There's always something new going on. Seriously, it is really hard to put down sometimes. I am already on level 432, but my goal is to get to level 500 by the end of the month, and I'm pretty sure I can do it. I'm always competing with my online friends too. Are we Best Fiends friends, listeners? We should be. Plus, since Best Fiends is free to download, you can start playing right away. But fair warning, once you start, you won't want to stop. And you can play wherever you are, whether you're unplugging from the internet to hit reset, or you're just finding yourself without Wi-Fi, you can still enjoy Best Fiends. I love that I can play it literally anywhere I want, with or without internet. And Best Fiends is one of those games that makes 30 minutes feel like 30 seconds. So it's great for the never-ending school pickup line. I don't know about you, but it's torture. Download the 5-star rated puzzle game Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Okay, let's talk about your rising sign. So, okay, if you have done any kind of astrology apps or had your birth chart read or even just pulled your birth chart using your information, your date of birth, your place of birth, and your time of birth, then you probably know your sun, your moon, and your rising sign. Okay, the sun and the moon are pretty obvious. The sun at the time that you were born was in a certain sign. That's the traditional when people say, what's your sign? And you say, I'm a Sagittarius. The Sagittarius is where your sun was when you were born. Okay. And your moon, again, the moon changes signs every 28-ish days. And so the moon changes signs every 2.5 days and completes a full cycle every 28 to 29 days. So we have a full lunar cycle, and that's how we have the word month. Month comes from the word moon. I don't know if you knew that. It's like a month. I didn't make that word up, I swear. So this is kind of how we look at these different pieces of our birth chart. Okay. But the rising sign is more personal to you than your sun sign or your moon sign or any of the other signs in your chart. Your rising sign, in ancient astrology times, your rising sign would be the more personal sign that if someone were to ask you back in ancient times, what's your sign? And I don't know if they did that, but you might answer with your rising sign because it was more personal to you. Okay. Your rising sign is determined by the constellation of the zodiac that was rising over the horizon at the time that you were born. Okay. So if you're born at 9:48 PM, whatever sign was rising over the horizon at that exact moment, that is your rising sign. Okay. It makes sense when you break it down that way and when you think about it, but that can change in a very short amount of time. The rising signs move every 2 to 2.5 hours. And so if you and your best friend were born on the same day, but you were born at 7 a.m. and she was born at 7 p.m., you'd have different rising signs probably. And it would be, it's interesting that people who can be born on the same day and maybe at slightly different times can have completely different birth charts, because your rising sign determines the beginning of your birth chart. Your rising sign determines the ruler of your first house and then how all of the rest of the houses of your chart fall in your chart. Okay. If you are ever looking at your own birth chart, you can see it's the circle and it has all those different pie slices. And if you're not super familiar with astrology, I know this sounds crazy, but if you look at that birth chart, all those different pie slices can help determine different aspects of your life. Okay. Each of those pie slices is called a house, and each house is ruled by a different sign of the zodiac. Sometimes in those houses, you may have planetary placements. Those also sort of contribute to certain energies in your life, certain occurrences in your life, and every extra little layer we add on top of this birth chart, determined by the time and location and date that you were born, just kind of gives more, I guess, depth to who you are as a person. It's very interesting. It's very fascinating. And the real point of all of this is that rising sign, because that's where it starts. That's where your story begins. Okay. Now, your rising sign in astrology means a few things. Okay. If your sun sign is sort of like, if you feel like your sun sign is who you are, and your moon sign is your sort of emotional soul self, your rising sign is sort of who people feel like you are. Okay. Your rising sign is an energy that you project, and it's who people think of you as. Okay. An example of this is one that I have given many times because it's one that's personal to me. Now, you've probably heard, if you have read any mainstream astrology, that Leo, the sun sign. A person with a Leo sun may be someone who seeks attention. Okay. And this is not always true. And there are a lot of different factors here, but generally speaking, and I hate generalizations, but generally speaking, this is kind of how an easy way to boil this down. If a Leo sun is someone who seeks attention, seeks to be seen and heard and experienced, right? Someone with a Leo rising may be someone who doesn't necessarily seek any of that, doesn't seek a spotlight, but attention and a spotlight. And sometimes those things will fall on that person, whether they're seeking it or not. And that's personal for me because I am a Leo rising. I'm not seeking to be the center of anyone's attention. And yet I find myself in the middle of situations a lot in my life where I am doing exactly that. A Leo sun may be seeking to be the leader of something, and a Leo rising may get sort of shoved into a leadership position, whether or not they're seeking it. So this is just sort of, you know, a kind of energy that we may be feeling from other people, even if it's not something that we feel about ourselves. Okay. So if the rising sign can be an energy that other people feel about us, it can sometimes also be a mask that we wear. Have you, or are you, met someone who maybe seems to be very extroverted, but definitely, as soon as the party is over, needs to shut down and retreat and needs days to recover from all of what was just happening? Sometimes that person may have, a rising sign that feels like a party, and people expect that from them. People expect a party. People expect, socialization and noise and a boisterous energy. And I'm talking about Sagittarius risings here. If you're Sagittarius rising, you know what I'm talking about. People expect that and feel that. They want to be around that person. They're drawn to that person. There's a magnetic energy there, but that person probably needs to step back as soon as all of that socialization is over and take some time to recharge. Okay. Because if you're not a Sagittarius sun too, then probably you need quiet time. You need time to yourself. You need time to go internal. You need time to recharge your batteries. And sometimes quiet and not being, in the presence of a million people is the only way to recharge that. So this is just sort of how we can experience that rising sign. Now, our rising sign, one of its most important features is that the rising sign determines the ruler of our first house in our birth chart. Okay. And this is important for two different reasons. First of all, knowing the ruler of the first house gives us what is called our chart ruler. So each of us has a planet that guides us a little bit more than the others. And that is our chart ruler. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you based on your rising sign, what your chart ruler is and how you can use this information. There's a lot of different ways to use this information, but I think the most important way is to determine where that planet is in your chart. What house is that planet in your chart? And look at what that means. You know, this might require some Googling. This might require the help of an astrologer. If you're not a little bit astrologically savvy, this might be a little confusing, and I'm here to help. So if you need help with this information, please reach out to me. I am glad to be of assistance. So if you are an Aries rising, then your ruling planet is Mars. Okay. If you are a Taurus rising, your ruling planet is Venus. If you are a Gemini rising, your ruling planet is Mercury. If you are a Cancer rising, then your ruling planet is the moon. If you are a Leo rising, your ruling planet is the sun. Virgo risings, your ruling planet is Mercury. Libra risings, your ruling planet is Venus. Scorpio risings, your ruling planet is Pluto. Sagittarius risings, your ruling planet is Jupiter. Capricorn risings, your ruling planet is Saturn. Aquarius risings, you have Aquarius risings, two ruling planets here. depending on which one you feel more strongly for, or you can choose both. But Aquarius has a shared rulership of both Uranus and Saturn. So opposing energies that kind of work together very nicely. That's why Aquarius is kind of that odd sign out sometimes in the zodiac. But Aquarius risings, dual rulership of Uranus and Saturn. If you are a Pisces rising, Neptune is your ruling planet. Okay. So knowing what your ruling planet is, for me, I'm a Leo rising. So my ruling planet is the sun. If I look at my chart, where is the sun in my chart? Okay. My sun is in Sagittarius. My sun in Sagittarius is in my fifth house in my chart, which is a house that is about children and creativity and, love and sensuality a little bit. And, that's just an interesting place for that to be for me. This is sort of a guiding area in my life, you know, being a parent, being, creative, being able to shine in certain ways, but in my own ways. Okay. In my own, you know, I'm probably not out there seeking a spotlight, and yet my creativity, I have something to say and I have a way that I want to say it. And here I'm doing it literally right now behind a microphone. So we find ourselves kind of, our ruling planet guides us and sort of shows us where we need to go and where we need to be. And if you're feeling like nothing in your life makes sense, check these alignments out and see. Maybe you're just out of alignment with your ruling planet. Maybe you're not doing what your ruling planet kind of has in mind for you. And when you get on that path and sort of adjust your sails a bit, you know, you might feel a little bit better about things. Things might feel a little bit more comfortable and aligned for you. So that your ruling planet is one of the important things that your rising sign can determine for you. But the other thing, and this is the main one that I wanted to talk about today, is your rising sign tells you who is the ruler of your first house, which we just talked about. And your rising sign rules your whole first house. So I am a Leo rising, which means I have a Leo first house in my chart. And our first house is our house of health and body and physical appearance. Okay. So this is a very important part of our chart. If we look at the houses of the birth chart as sort of a clock of our lives, our first house represents the things that are vitally important to us the moment that we are born: our body, our health, our life force, and our physical self. Okay. And so that first house can really tell us a lot about what we are to become, what we might look like, what things might be physically important to us someday, and how our bodies can sort of manifest certain things that are related to these signs that rule them. Okay. I hope you're following here. I know this can be complicated information. I'm just really eager to tell you about all of these because it's fascinating to me. And I find, 9 times out of 10, it's fairly accurate. So what I'd like to do is go through each of the rising signs again, and we'll talk about some of the areas of the body that are impacted by and what that can mean for your health, your appearance, and just sort of your physical self, based on your rising sign. I hope that is good for you, because I am ready. So when we are talking about Aries risings, okay, if you are an Aries rising, probably you have a high energy. Okay. You might be somebody who likes to do things fast. You might be somebody who is physically competitive. You might be somebody who is physically powerful. Okay. You might be somebody who gets headaches. Aries is the ruler, the ram, the symbol of the ram, and Aries rules the head. Okay. Sometimes this can manifest in headaches. Sometimes it can manifest in head injuries. Please wear a helmet if you are an Aries who likes to ride bikes or rollerblade. Is that a thing we're still doing? I don't know. But, you know, take care of that. Take care of your noggin, please, Aries risings. Aries risings, also when we look at physical appearance, this can be someone who maybe has a redness about them. Okay. Aries is ruled by Mars. Mars is the red planet. Mars can be angry. Sometimes that can be our anger showing, or our emotion can show in our skin. Are you an Aries rising who blushes furiously, or whose face gets red when they're angry? Do you sunburn easily? Do you have red hair? Do you have a flush or a red or a pinkness in the undertone to your skin? Sometimes it can be very physically manifesting in this way. Okay. So Aries risings, these can be some of the things that are going on. Take care of your head, Aries risings. Taurus rising. If you're a Taurus rising, Taurus rules the throat. Okay. And so sometimes a Taurus rising may have a distinctive or beautiful voice. Okay. Sometimes they have a manner of speaking or an aura about themselves when they speak. Okay. When we're looking at health, throat related things can be involved here. So if you're a Taurus rising, do you have things like acid reflux? Do you have GERD or heartburn? Do you have allergies? Sometimes this can be food related allergies. Sometimes this can be seasonal allergies or pet allergies, things like that, that affect the throat. Okay. Sometimes this can also be related to things with the thyroid. So if you're a Taurus rising, do you notice thyroid issues? Have you noticed that? Is that something that you need to check out? I am not a doctor. I am not diagnosing anything with this segment, by the way, just even though you know that, I feel like enough people are out there taking horse medication for COVID that I probably should throw that warning out into the world. So just know that this is just astrology and nothing here is permanent. And I don't have your birth chart to look at. And I am not a medical astrologer, which is a thing that exists and it is fascinating, but I'm not one. So this is all just general information that you can take or leave. So Taurus risings, keep an eye on throat issues. Are you somebody who gets sniffly and sneezy a lot, gets a sore throat a lot? Do you have a husky voice? Do you have thyroid stuff going on? Are you a beautiful singer? These can be some of the things that we see with a Taurus rising. Okay. Gemini rising. So Gemini is a sign that is ruled by Mercury. Okay. There's a couple of things at play here with a Gemini rising. Gemini rules the sort of hands, arms, lungs, sort of that part, the sort of upper chest area of the body extending across to hands and arms. Gemini risings, we may see someone here who talks with their hands. Okay. Gemini risings may have trouble with things like carpal tunnel. You're communicating, which is a very Gemini, very Mercury thing, but it can sometimes cause issues with wrists, hands, sometimes leading into carpal tunnel type issues and related arthritis issues. So these are things to watch, especially with regards to your joints, especially in hands, arms, wrists, fingers, those kinds of things. Lungs with Gemini risings. Gemini is a communicator, a speaker, a storyteller. Lung issues here can be related to allergies. It can be related to chronic bronchitis. This can be related to people being a little bit more prone to respiratory viruses. And I don't know if you know this, but we're living in a time of an increase of respiratory viruses out in the world. So Gemini risings, wear a mask. I mean, we all should be again right now, but please, if you haven't been, now's the time. Gemini risings also may struggle with smoke. Okay. I know there's a lot of wildfires happening right now. Smog can be an issue. If you are somebody who lives in an area with a lot of smoke, a lot of smog, or someone who might be a smoker, if you are a Gemini rising, this might be something that could create problems for you down the road. So something to consider. Okay. Gemini risings have a physical appearance that can be, I don't know how else to put this other than to just say elfin, like a little elf, like just diminutive, a mischievous person. Okay. Mercury rules Gemini. Mercury is the trickster god. Sometimes you can get a physical manifestation of that. You might have some of these features. You might look like a Gemini. If that's a thing, you might have a look like a Gemini rising. So it's a lovely thing. You'll always look younger than you are, which is a beautiful thing in this world. So, Gemini risings, you probably have also, a smile or a laugh to remember Gemini risings. So, moving on to Cancer rising. So if you are a Cancer rising, Cancer is the sign of the zodiac that's ruled by the moon. Okay. The moon is your ruling planet. Cancer, the sign, rules over the stomach and the breasts. Okay. So that area of the body, that sort of upper, where your physical stomach is, not where your intestines are. So stomach and breasts, that's sort of that area. Cancer risings have a tendency to have a very, and I'm saying this in a way, Cancer risings tend to look like the moon. It can be ethereal sometimes. Cancer risings may have a paleness or a translucence to their skin. Cancer risings may have a rounded or full figure, especially in the chest area. Are you a Cancer rising? Do you have really big boobs? I mean, I've seen it a million times, so you probably do. So this can just be, Cancer risings tend to manifest physically as this sort of goddess archetype. Okay. It's sometimes a goddess body. Sometimes it's curvy. Sometimes it's soft. Sometimes it's round. This is very representative of the moon. Okay. Cancer risings also probably have the types of eyes where their emotions will immediately be indicated. So sometimes Cancer risings are fast criers because their emotions just leak right out. Sometimes Cancer risings will wear whatever the emotion is on their skin. This may be an angry crier as well. So Cancer risings, when it comes to your physical health, we talked about the stomach and the breasts especially. So taking care of those, sometimes Cancer risings may have back trouble due to a heavy chest. You always want to make sure that you're doing your breast exams and mammograms and taking care of breast health. This can be, you may be somebody who has dense breast tissue, which can be, tricky to determine things like, any kind of breast cancer stuff. So again, not a doctor, but just things to watch for and consider should you be a Cancer rising. Also Cancer risings, Cancer rules the stomach. And this can be related to things like food allergies and issues with digestion, upper digestion. So more of the same when we're talking about things like acid reflux, GERD, specific food allergies. Dairy is one that I see a lot with Cancer risings. So if you have a dairy issue or a gluten issue, this could be something. And when those physical manifestations of food related allergies come out, they can sometimes play out on your skin. So if you have been noticing a lot of skin issues, eczema, rashes, acne, things like that, Cancer risings, check your diet because there may be some gut issues at play here. Okay. Now moving on to Leo risings. So Leo risings, the physical manifestation of a Leo rising is usually the main one that we hear about is the hair, right? Leo has the mane, it's the lion. And so there's always a thing about the hair. Do they do something crazy with their hair? Do they have a lot of it? Is it beautiful? Is it striking in some way? Are they always changing it? That's a very Leo rising thing to notice. Leo, the sign, rules over the heart and the spine. Okay. And so if you're a Leo rising, Leo is, again, Leo rules the heart, right? Lion-hearted. But this is a very big-hearted, generous energy when it comes to Leo rising. And sometimes these Leo risings can give or be available or put themselves out there so much that it causes issues with their heart. Leo is a big energy and always wants to experience everything that is available to them. And so Leo risings sometimes can have heart-related issues because maybe this is related to stress and anxiety. Maybe this is related to diet because just wanting to experience and taste all of the foods and never put limits on lifestyle or diet. These can be things that might be issues. The spine also, Leo, you know, that when you think of that regal Leo lion energy, the spine is part of that. You know, I am a Leo rising. I have spinal stuff all of the time. If you're a Leo rising and you don't have a chiropractor, I would highly recommend you get in touch with one. You might not even know that the headaches that you sometimes have, that, you know, your knee pain, different things like this might be just caused by some spinal misalignments. And we're all hunched over and crouched over devices, more hours of the day than not these days. Again, Leo risings, you should probably have a chiropractor. Yes. Virgo risings. Okay. So Virgo risings, Virgo is ruled by the planet Mercury. Virgo and Mercury together would create probably the highest anxiety, sign planet combination in the whole zodiac. So Virgo Mercury information here, when it comes to Virgo risings, have a tendency toward anxiety. Okay. Period. Virgo risings tend toward anxiety. Virgo, rules over the intestines. Okay. Mercury rules your mind. So let's think about this here. There is a mind-gut connection that you'll probably hear about if you've listened to any kind of holistic healthcare professionals. They'll talk about this all the time, but balancing the gut can have a direct effect on the mind. And if you are someone who has a lot of anxiety, carries a lot of anxiety, especially if you're a Virgo rising, you may feel that anxiety and carry it right in your gut. Now, I am a person who has a lot of anxiety. I am not a Virgo rising. I know a few Virgo risings, and I have at least one of them in this house right now, and they do carry this in the gut. When you are nervous, when you are stressed, when you are overwhelmed, do you have digestive pyrotechnics? Do you have bowel stuff going on? Are you nauseated? Are you puking in the bathroom because you are nervous and overwhelmed? These are very Virgo rising things to deal with. That anxiety comes from the Virgo, comes from the Mercury. It's in your mind and it's affecting your gut. Okay. There's a direct connection here. If you are a Virgo rising, highly, highly, highly recommend talking to your doctor, healthcare professional about probiotics, because balancing that gut can have a direct impact to help balance your mind. Another thing to talk to them about is magnesium supplements. This is, again, I'm not a doctor. I can't recommend anything specifically to you, but talk to your doctor about magnesium supplements, because magnesium is something that we are almost all deficient in. Magnesium affects the things like your sleep and your poop and your brain function. Okay. And so if you are anxious and sleeping poorly and having gut trouble, magnesium might be right for you. So talk to your doctor about it. And Virgo risings, hang in there, because you do have some really great things going for you. No one will ever know how old you are, because like Gemini risings, that Mercury influence gives us this sort of younger appearance. So Virgo risings, have a very pure and young look to them. This might not be great for you until you become an actual adult. If you are a Virgo rising out there, you probably had issues when you were younger. Everyone just assuming that you were much younger than you were. Now that you're an adult, you probably will appreciate that a little bit more. So Virgo risings, hang in there with that gut stuff, especially when we are in Virgo season. This season can really activate physical stuff for you. And so you can start to really feel that. So hang in there. Now, Libra risings. Okay. Libra is the sign that is ruled by Venus. So Venus is your ruling planet. Libra rules over the kidneys. Okay. Now let's think about this, because it makes a lot of sense, right? We just talked about Libra. Libra is the only sign of the zodiac that is represented by a machine. It's a set of scales. It's a balance. There's two of them, right? And they balance. What do the kidneys do? Right? The kidneys balance our body. Okay. If you are a Libra rising, drink lots of water, because if you don't, if you are poorly hydrated, if you don't drink lots of water, if you don't take care of the balance in your body that way, you can be prone to more things like UTIs, bladder infections, kidney infections. Okay. So you need to take care of that area of that balance in your body. Another thing to also manage, I'm telling you to drink lots of water, but also manage those electrolytes, because that can be a related issue. Libra risings have a tendency to have a very Venusian look to them. This can be more of that goddess energy, right? It's beautiful. Sometimes it can be very stately energy. Sometimes it can be a little mysterious. The Venus influence over Libra risings and Taurus risings as well is that the body is very sensuous. Okay. You may be prone to wanting to decorate yourself. Are you into tattoos? Are you into piercings? Are you into beautiful fashion or a very specific fashion sense or type of look for yourself? This is a very Libra rising thing. There is a thing about you that is striking and noticeable, and you tend to play to that, and it's good because it works for you. So, all of you Libra risings out there, you are lovely and beautiful. Scorpio risings. Okay. If you are a Scorpio rising, Scorpio is a sign that is ruled by Pluto. Okay. Pluto is intensity personified. So Scorpio risings have a tendency to look and come across very intense. Sometimes it's in the eyes. It's a mysterious eyes situation. Sometimes it's the face. It can be a severe face. And I don't say that in a way that I think is an unattractive in any way. Are you a Scorpio rising who has a serious resting bitch face? You may be intimidating, physically intimidating to people, whether it's the shape of your body or the look on your face or some combination of both. Scorpio risings have a tendency to have a physical intimidation factor to the people that they meet until they know you a little bit better, because Scorpio is about intimacy. Everybody at arm's length until I'm ready for you to be in my inner circle. Once that intimacy has been reached and once you're allowed closer, that sort of intimidation factor kind of drops away a little bit more. And now it's endearing and lovely to behold and not scary anymore. Okay. Scorpio is a sign that rules the sex organs. Okay. So Scorpio risings, we're talking about not just the external sex organs, obviously here, we're also talking about internal reproductive areas. Are you a Scorpio rising who has very difficult periods? Do you have reproductive troubles? Are you extremely fertile? Do you have things like endometriosis or PCOS? Are there issues in this area? Scorpio risings have a tendency to manifest things physically in this area. And so that's something that I would tell any Scorpio rising to make sure that you take care of that. Because Scorpio is ruled by Pluto, this is, again, it's a planet of intensity. Scorpio risings can be horny, right? I mean, we all can be, but Scorpio risings have a tendency to broadcast it in a way, even if they're not trying to. You have a way about you, Scorpio risings, and your freak flag is flying. So if you don't want it up there, you might need to take some care to figure that out. Now, moving on to Sagittarius risings. Okay, so Sagittarius is a sign that is ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter is the planet of more and bigger and excess. Jupiter is like Santa Claus in the zodiac. Sagittarius being ruled by the Sagittarius is the symbol of Sagittarius is a centaur, okay, which is half man, half horse. Sagittarius in this function in the first house rules over the hips and thighs, which is the horse's ass. Okay, so Sagittarius rising, do you have stuff going on with your hips and thighs? Again, Sagittarius rising, you probably need a chiropractor. You should probably be seeing one. Are one of your leg, do you feel like one of your legs is longer than the other? Are you wearing a lift in one of your shoes? Do you run? Do you travel? Do you walk? Do you do a lot of physical activity, but you notice that you struggle with issues in these areas when you try to do these things? Get that chiropractor to check you out. There may be a misalignment issue going on here. Because of that, you might be able to go longer, go further, be more powerful in whatever physical ways that you're trying to manifest in this first house. Okay. Sagittarius risings have a tendency to feel like and broadcast this air of, I am a party. I bring the party. I am Jupiter. I am excess. I am more and bigger and let's do it. And Sagittarius rising is the go big or go home show. Okay. This is someone that is magnetic. People are drawn to and want to be around. It's an air of generosity. It's an air of a big, gigantic heart and someone who you can always go to and who probably won't say no to you, which can be a beautiful thing, but it can also be trouble. So if you are a Sagittarius rising and people are always coming to you and asking for more, 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 they're just picking up on what your zodiac hormones are broadcasting. And that is that you are a yes man. Okay. But be careful, Sagittarius risings, you need to be able to say no. If you overwork yourself, these things can manifest in poor health ways. Sometimes this can be hips and thighs. Sometimes this can be lower hips and thighs is a general, description of this area, but also like colorectal areas. So this is something also to pay attention to if you are a Sagittarius rising. Again, not a doctor, not diagnosing you, just watch those areas. Lots of stress, lots of excess, always wanting to do all the things, eat all the things, drink all the things, go to all the places, be with all the people, but not being able to take a step back and turn things off for yourself sometimes, can really take an effect on your body over time. So pay attention to those things and take care of yourself. Sagittarius rising, it's a hard world out there for a Sag. Now, Capricorn risings. So Capricorn is a sign that's ruled by Saturn. Capricorn risings have a tendency to have a very, practical look about them. Now, a Capricorn rising may have, I've heard them described as plain. I have not found this to be true. I have found a Capricorn risings in my life to be a person who knows their physical self and knows exactly how to dress their physical self in the smartest ways, knows, how to accentuate exactly the beautiful features that they have. This is a person who doesn't waste time with trends and fads and doing all of the crazy things. This is a person who says, yes, this is who I am. Here it is. Take it or leave it, which I love. A Capricorn rising, you will probably also find to have a really dry or dark sense of humor. So enjoy that. I know I do. Capricorn, again, ruled by Saturn. Saturn rules foundations in the zodiac. And so when it comes to our bodies, the foundations of our bodies tend to be the bones. Okay. So Capricorn, a lot of astrologers say specifically Capricorn rules the knees, but I have found bones, joints, tendon related issues, and sometimes even nerve related issues are all things that are ruled by Capricorn in the first house. So Cap risings, do you have trouble with your knees? Are they crunchy? Keep an eye on that. Is it some other joint issue in your body? You know, if you start noticing a lot of things like this, I have heard medical astrologers say that Capricorn risings should probably be looking into with their doctors, of course, things like collagen supplements, things like glucosamine and chondroitin, things that help with joints, also watching out for bone density health as we get older. So osteoporosis and things related to that. So Cap risings, just make sure you take care of the foundations of your body. Aquarius risings. So Aquarius is a sign, like I said before, that has a dual rulership. So Aquarius is ruled by Uranus and also by Saturn. And the reason that this is because Uranus was not discovered until much later than Saturn. And so the original ruler of Aquarius was Saturn. And eventually we sort of transitioned that over to Uranus. And so sometimes we use one or the other or both. Astrology is confusing. I don't make the rules here. So whatever you feel more drawn to is that Aquarius rising rulership. Now, Aquarius risings physically may have a very ethereal appearance about them. There's something about an Aquarius rising that you are drawn to. You don't know why. It might feel or seem weird. And I'm not saying weird in a bad way. I'm saying weird in the best way possible. There are people who say, astrologers out there who say that every Aquarius rising, has an alien feature about them. That is pushing it a little far to me. Ethereal, I think, is probably the best way to describe that. Do they have a haunting voice? Is there something about their eyes that draws you in? Do they have lips that you can't stop staring at? There's something about an Aquarius rising that is striking that you just can't seem to get enough of, whatever it is, right? Now, Aquarius in the body rules over our calves and our ankles. Now, because this is also shared rulership here with Saturn, this is again about foundations. Now, these foundations are more related to things like nerves, more so than our tendons and bones, like Capricorn. So Aquarius, nerve-related things. Do you struggle with nervous energy? Do you struggle with numbness anywhere? Is this something that you have seen a lot in your body? Is it a circulation issue? Because that can be related to nerves and blood vessels. So Aquarius risings, keep an eye on those things, especially also just like the calves and ankles. Some Aquarius risings do have a tendency to have some weak ankles. Just watch yourself with the ice skating, I guess. And please never stop being as beautifully weird as you are. Now we're ending up the zodiac here with the Pisces risings. Okay. If you are a Pisces rising, your ruling planet is Neptune. Neptune is a foggy, kind of out there, dreamy sort of planet. Pisces risings have a tendency to come off a little like hippy dippy, they may be very quiet. They may seem, a Pisces rising may be one of those people where you say, still waters run deep. Like they're quiet. but there's a lot going on under the surface here. Pisces is a water sign. And so Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac, and it is about the wisdom of the waters. And so there's a lot happening beneath the surface with a Pisces rising. Now, a Pisces rising has a feature that many people have gotten sucked right into, and it's a very easy to do because Pisces risings, when you are talking to someone who is a Pisces rising, they will look at you like you are the only person on the planet. You can fall in love with a Pisces rising just by making eye contact sometimes. I'm telling you, it's happened to me. It's easy to do. A Pisces rising is attentive and dreamy, and there is this sort of energy of romance to them. Like, they will give you everything that you've ever dreamed of in life. That can be both beautiful and dangerous. So watch yourself out there with those Pisces risings. Get lost in the eyes. It's like swimming in the ocean. Sometimes that current will pull you right under. So let yourself enjoy it. Just don't drown with the Pisces risings. Pisces risings, the physical area that Pisces rules, Pisces is the fish, right? Pisces rules the feet. Okay. Take care of your feet, Pisces risings. The other thing that's, I know that's so random and weird. The other thing about a Pisces rising is that your body may be more inclined to struggle with addiction. Okay. And this can be easily becoming addicted to sugar or caffeine or harder substances or drugs or alcohol or programming or porn. There's that idea of there's a thing and it makes you feel good. And so you just love it and you want more of it and you just keep going. Because you have that Neptune rulership, it's a foggy planet. And it's like, just keep going into the fog. Everything you love is out there, but also maybe danger, right? Sometimes we can go too far and we can get lost, and addiction is like that. So just knowing that this is a physical manifestation, sometimes of, just addictive personality is a physical thing. And there's a lot to be said about that. I am not qualified to speak about it. I am just here to tell you that Pisces risings, just keep an eye on those things, for yourself. If you find yourself, feeling a little untethered and out there in the fog with, a thing that you are, just getting a little deeper into than you're comfortable with, use your Pisces charm, Pisces rising charm to ask for help to, kind of get back to shore a little bit. So, that is all of the rising signs. I don't know. I hope this was helpful. I know there was a lot of information there. Obviously, not all of this is going to be true for every single person of every single rising sign. As with anything in astrology, I'm not looking directly at your birth chart, so I can't be precise or exact about any of this. These are all just generalizations. If something works for you, take it. And if it doesn't, you can leave it behind. So, I appreciate you all being here this week as always. I am looking forward to a new show and joining you here next week with a brand new episode of Glow Girl. In the meantime, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Glow Girl Pod. Make sure you catch the rest of the Girls Girls Media Multiverse of podcasts. There's somebody on the air just about every day of the week, and there is something here for everybody. Also, if you are not already a member of our exclusive Facebook group, the Girls Girls Community, make sure that you join. Membership is opened up. I'm in there. Brittany and Meredith from our flagship Girls Girls podcast are over there. All the rest of our Girls Girls Media hosts are in there spending all of our time in our favorite little social media haven. And we would love if you would come join us and be our friends. It's just our favorite little thing. Glow Girl is a production of Girls Girls Media, and our music today is, as always, by the amazing Breakmaster Cylinder. Shine bright, Glow Girls.